Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Rocket Mortgage. Confidence. Support for the Adam Carolla Show comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Why can't clients get approved in minutes, not weeks? Or make adjustments to their rate and term in real time? Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans answered those questions and more. It gives you the confidence to buy a home or refinance your existing loan. Fully understand all the details and be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. That's right. That's what Rocket Mortgage does. Whether you're looking to buy your first home or your 10th, with Rocket Mortgage, you get a transparent online process. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. What else do you need to know? And again, these guys support the show and are great sponsors. So, Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. To get started, just go to rocketmortgage.com/Adam. That's rocketmortgage.com/Adam.
Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, from Podcast One's The Chad Prather Show, comedian Chad Prather. With Gene Grad on news, Paul Bryant on sound effects, and RJ Bell with RJ's Parlay. And now, DJ Khaled featuring Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on. Mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for sharing the show. That's the best part about you guys. Here we are in our 10th year. It's all because of you. So turn a friend on who you work with or a family member, what have you. And thanks to folks like BetDSI. Go to BetDSI.com. Enter Adam25. You get the free $25 to get started. One big game coming up I can think of. And also Books. That is Books.com. Enter Adam. Save 50% on some really good flowers. That's B-O-U-Q-S. Good day, Gina Grant.
Good day to you.
And Bald Brian.
Grow the hell up.
You love that.
I like that, too. All right. Let's see. Thoughts. And then we'll get into all the stuff we want to get into. I was watching the Grammys, the rest of the Grammys. I watched them in sort of chunks. I know it's a little bit old. I watched a band called Little Big Town.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone likes Little Big Town.
I like them.
Got the one hot chick, and the other hot chick, except her hair is frizzy and weird.
Yeah.
Got to get out that hot comb, man. Straighten things out a little bit on her. But it was all good. And then they said, now performing Better Man. And I thought, good, because that's one of my favorite Pearl Jam songs. It's about time.
It's going to be banjo heavy.
And then they mentioned it was Taylor Swift's Better Man.
What?
And I find myself watching a lot of Grammy artists and really appreciating their live performance. I mean, whatever the genre of music, I made fun of DJ Khaled, but you remove him from the equation, and that's quite a performance.
Set, yeah.
Right.
Well, speaking of which, wasn't it Little Big Town just a couple years ago had the tremendous performance of Girl Crush where it was just them and the camera going around?
I still remember that. It gives you goosebumps. That was incredible.
It was the highlight of the night.
Yeah.
So let me hear a little more of this song. And then it was like, written by Taylor Swift, and I was like, all right, well, let's try to enjoy this. Again, if I ever think there's a chance that I could possibly do something is rendered worthless, because I'm a Corolla and that's our wiring. And I sort of watched this. I was like, and I thought, I don't think there's much to this song, and I don't feel like there's much. It's not that layered or anything. Like,
feels perfectly fine, but just kind of
like a Taylor Swift song. It's like a generic Taylor Swift song.
Doesn't really get off the ground.
You can kind of figure it out, because, like, if I said, who wrote this song? Oh, Dumpy Tampon. She's a heavy set gal. She's older. I mean, she used to, well, she never really had a prime. Her skin's a little rough. They usually shoot her from the balcony or something. And I think, would I listen to this song? With Dumpy Tambon singing it, like, would I be thinking, I'm picturing a heavy set gal with bad skin. I'm going, I don't think I would enjoy the song. You have to kind of picture Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
I imagine Dumpy Tampon's real name is Gertrude Tampon, but like T-Bone Burnett, you know, they call her Dumpy. It's a nickname she's earned. Yeah, there's nothing to this song.
It just doesn't go anywhere.
It wasn't enjoyable to watch because it doesn't have anything going on in it that makes it interesting. It sounds like a bad Taylor Swift song. And I'm not even a Taylor Swift hater. It just sounds like a 23-year-old chick who's hot wrote a song for some other hot chicks. I wish you were
a better man. It's fine. It's nothing to it. I wonder what we would have become if you were a better man.
We might still be in love if you were a better man. Kind of boring.
It doesn't do anything.
No, it's like a good dentist office song.
Well done.
Thanks.
Yeah.
I should play this in the fertility clinic waiting room.
Yes.
We wouldn't be here if you were a better man.
Can't find a boomer.
All right, now I want to play my better man because my better man kicks goddamn ass. And this is the difference between a great song and a weird placeholder song. Like, that song just sounds like every song I've heard in the last 5 years. This song, first off, you want to talk about a song like telling a story, like a chick going, I wish you were better, and I, you know, you picked me up in your pickup truck, but we drove down a lake, and those nights I forgot about, and those hot nights swimming, skinny dipping in the pond, and like, shut up.
Yeah. Only if it's Seeger singing about the backseat of his 50 Chevy, then.
That's right. He learned about love there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Listen to the lyrics of this song. We're talking about all the abuse and all the stuff that's going on. This song just nails it on the head. Every good song's got to have a little foreplay,
too. I love the rope-a-dopsy, too. Yeah, you know, kind of dances around, then delivers the
right, so now it just kicks in.
Strip down.
The drums are raw on this song. That's one of the things that makes this a great song.
The way I like to describe a good song is there's a part in the song where the knife gets stuck in you.
Yeah.
And then there's a part in the song where they twist the knife.
Yeah.
And this song has those. The knife goes in when the drums kick in.
Right.
But on this chorus, the knife's twisted a little bit.
It's just such a superior product.
The other song, the knife was just sort of threatening to bore you.
It was a nail file.
Now, you can go, I like the Taylor Swift one version better. That just means you're fucking dumb. It's not a different sense of taste. Turn it up for the smart people. She loved him. So one of the things I use as a measuring stick is if you ask me to play in Little Big Town's version of the Taylor Swift song, I'd be bored as shit. I'd be like, this is embarrassing. Our average age of this band is 39. What the fuck are we doing? This song's a piece of shit. I don't even know what it is. It doesn't start, doesn't have a middle, doesn't really end. And I'm going to be a dick standing here like pretending to play an acoustic guitar while you two are singing. If you let me play Better Man by Pearl Jam, I'd be going insane. It'd be the greatest day of my life.
And it would be the right demographic for what you're trying to do.
Yes. Ugh. All right. Yeah. So look, there's good and there's bad and there's in between. And that's it. Very in between.
But speaking of like little Big Town and bands like Sugarland, I think is one
Florida
of them.
Florida Georgia Line.
The country music that will get played on the Grammys is never going to be the.
It's going to
be crossover.
What I don't get is there's two dudes in that band. Like, I don't get why one of them doesn't raise their hand and go, this song sucks. Like, I don't want to go in the studio. I know it's Taylor Swift. I know we're going to get spins. I know it's a great thing. I don't want to piss her off. But I just feel like an asshole. Like, there's nothing here. Don't you guys want to play good music? Like, didn't we get started? What are we going to do? We're going to have to sell the tour van and everyone move back in with their parents? I think we're fine. I think we're fine. We don't have to embarrass ourselves. It's embarrassing. Like, there has to be that. You can't know music and go, I want to do this. It's got to all be politics and Taylor Swift, right? All right, RJ. RJ Bell's on the line. I got more to complain about, though. Don't you worry. RJ?
Adam, I have a question for you.
Yes.
In general, when you do something amazing, like far beyond expectation, are you one to just state it plainly? Do you brag? Do you act humble? How do you do it?
I brag depending on what it is. For some reason, if it has to do with some automotive racing, I brag. If it has to do with comedy, I don't brag or something.
Okay, so you're saying if it's part of your profession, you tend to try to be graceful about it.
I don't know. It's like I'm playing the Kennedy Center coming up February 9th. I'm doing stand up there, and everyone keeps saying to me, "Oh, that's a big deal. That's like a bucket list thing. You're performing. You're playing the Kennedy Center in D.C." And it doesn't strike me as much or anything, or not bragging rights. But if I did a good e-brake in a car, and pulled off a nice 180, I'd be bragging about it. I agree with you because I'm smart. Thank you.
Okay, so I think considering this is my profession, I'm going to be really low-key. We've been pretty much undefeated since Thanksgiving. I'll just say it flat.
Yeah, I know. You turned me on to the Stipe heavyweight bet, and you got me all off this goddamn parlay, RJ. So I loved your parlay, or the teaser, or whatever it was from last week. I was like, Patriots, blah, 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 blah. Let me explain something. You ready?
I'm ready.
I'm sitting around and okay, here's what has to happen. Patriots have to win at home. Of course they're going to win at home. They're playing an expansion team at home. They got Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. Of course they're going to the next Super Bowl because I have to be miserable all year, every year. So Super Bowl, for sure, the Patriots. Uh-huh. And everyone's talking about the Eagles being dogs to the Vikings, but I like the Eagles at home. Ever since I saw them beat my Rams with their backup quarterback who's lighting up the scoreboard.
Playing pretty well.
If you would have said to me, money line, who's going to win that game? I said, Eagles at home. I like the Eagles at home. Now I get Eagles at home and 9 points, and Patriots have to win at home. And I thought to myself, this is a lock. And then I get the call from RJ. Hey, I got this UFC bet. It's a lock. And I get all confused, RJ. And I start thinking about it. And there's only so much room in my miniature brain for like two bets on one weekend. You know, now I'm thinking, ooh, I got this Francis Ngannou bet. Oh, blah, blah, blah. And at the last minute, I smartly declined that bet. And I swept this one out with the bathwater as well.
Yeah.
And then
you flushed the system.
I watched a Patriots game, and when they're down 20-10 in the fourth quarter, I think, good, good. I forgot to bet on that game. Somehow they're not going to win at home, and then they win. And then I go, good. I hope that the Eagles lose by more than 9.5, and then they roll. So that's my gambling life.
So how are you, RJ?
you're like the prototypical weekend batter. That's exactly how people think.
It is, yes. So what do you think coming out? What, the Pats, as they stand now, 4.5, right?
Yes.
I told Cousin Sal I like the Eagles because if the Patriots win, they win with a field goal at the last second. That's three points, right? And the Eagles are scoring. The Eagles put up 36 points on a good Minnesota defense and held them to 7, and the Patriots did what they always do. What do you think?
I think that it's a tight game, meaning that the line's about right, but we will have a nice best bet because of what's happening here in Vegas, which is there is gigantic, historic money on the Eagles to win the game. Not the spread, but to win the game outright.
Well, I feel exactly how I felt this time last year when I was losing money and we were talking about the Falcons. I was like, the Falcons are rolling. They're putting points on the board. They can't stop their offense. And the Patriots are just squeaking out wins just enough to get there. You got one team that's rolling, got another team that's sort of backed into it. So the team that's going to roll is going to roll. And I took the Falcons in the money line, and they were rolling for three quarters or so.
Bad game.
Well, in this game and most Super Bowls, there's the phenomenon that the bettor who doesn't know anything, even what a point spread is, but they're in Vegas, right? So they walk up to the window and they say, give me Tom Brady. He's got a cute smile in the Patriots. And it's like, well, you've got to bet $18 to win $10, right? A lot to win a little. They're like, oh, that doesn't sound fun. What about that Eagles team? Well, you can bet 10 to win 16. Oh, that sounds fun. So what you get is the recreational bettors for the Super Bowl often will bet the underdog to win the game. This year, you've got one guy. You might remember we talked about it, the World Series Let It Ride bettor. This was the guy that won over $10 million and was undefeated in the World Series, picking the winners.
Yeah.
He is trying to get down $10 million on the Eagles to win the game, and he's already got down about $5 million on the Eagles.
Yeah, this guy's a genius. He told me to take Francis Ngannou against Stipe Milosevic last weekend and almost outed me $10,000.
Yeah.
Well, listen, I made a major bet, so I'm more upset than you on that one.
I'm laughing. I know, but this guy took action on that fight, right?
Yeah, that was the first time he had bet since the World Series. And we broke the story on it, and I'll be honest, I wasn't following him during the World Series. But what we had reported on, he went like 8-0 on UFC before he even started the World Series. So I'm thinking it's been 3 months, he hasn't bet anything, and he's coming out for one fight. He must know something. So I'm very depressed about it.
I know you are.
Yeah, the flux capacity.
The reason he's depressed is because the guy we were supposed to bet on was a heavy favorite.
Right.
So in order to just make it worthwhile, you got to go big
to get the other guy. Right. You have to put down more.
You got to put down more to make it worth your while. So it's tough.
Why does it seem like Adam's smiling about all the money I lost?
Well, I feel in a weird way your little information screwed me out of that parlay from last week, that teaser from last week as well.
It screwed you out from the other information I gave you that won.
That's right. That's right. The one I should have listened to. So now, okay, couple things. When you want to get down $10 million worth of action, and look, nobody should ever listen to me, but...
Get that drop.
Get that drop.
Ever. I feel like the Eagles are scoring. The Eagles are a better team at this place. They're playing defense, and they're moving the ball, and the Patriots just seem like they're just getting by, And now the question is, so I think the Eagles could do what the Falcons did to the Patriots for that game. The question is then can they close it out? Can they close it?
Yeah, I'll be honest, Adam, let's think back to what the line was a couple weeks ago when Philly hosted Atlanta, right? You remember that game? Because we had a big bet on Philly. But remember, that game was in Philadelphia. Home field advantages were 3, so they had 3 points there. And they were getting 3 points. So that means Atlanta was considered to be 6 points better than Philly in that game. Now, how would you compare Atlanta to New England?
I feel like Atlanta's...
This year?
I feel like, I mean, they stretched a field probably a little more. I mean, New England stretches the field so they can get pass interference calls, but I felt like their offense was a little more potent, but it's so hard to tell, and I never can critique New England because all they do is win.
Yeah, remember, Atlanta was the sixth seed in the NFC, right? They barely made the playoffs, and New England was the number one seed in the AFC. So, to me, we have if New England played Philadelphia the first week of the playoffs, so you forget New England's two wins and Philly's two wins, on a neutral field, like the Super Bowl, New England would have been a 10-point favorite.
Right. I agree with that.
So now we have this big readjustment about Nick Foles, a backup quarterback, except it was a coin toss game against the Falcons. I mean, they were inside the 10, touchdown to win. And then they played a Minnesota team that was off a miracle win. Listen, they get credit for the... I mean, Philly won, but Minnesota was not in a great spot there, and Eagles were at home in both these games. Now they're on the road with a rookie, with a inexperienced backup quarterback. I mean, to me, this line, I get why everyone's excited about the Eagles playing so well. I just think they benefited from the home field in a drastic way, and now you're in a spot, the eighth Super Bowl for New England and the first... for pretty much any of these Eagles players.
Yeah, look, I'm with you all New England. My only thing is when New England wins by a field goal at the end in dramatic fashion, you still get paid if you bet on Philly.
Right.
That's
And we can segue to the best bet if you want.
Go ahead.
Is one bet this week, and it is New England on the money line.
Mm-hmm.
So New England just to win the game.
Just win the game. Now, you got to lay 18 to win 10 or 180 to win 100, so however you want to think about it. But here's why it's a great bet. It's a good and great bet. Typically, a 4.5-point favorite, you're going to have to lay 220 to win 100.
Mm-hmm.
We're laying 180. Why? Because everyone's betting the money line for the Eagles. So think about the money line for New England like it's on sale. We're getting something that's worth 220 for only 180.
You got to be somebody's uncle. I just
what do you mean?
Just car rides with some 9-year-old boy, and you're explaining that work is for suckers and that homework is for losers.
You can't afford not to do this.
You're explaining.
She's the guy in a tie. Look at that guy in a noose.
Sucker.
If you believe in value, you've got to bet that.
You do this whole talk, and then you pull up into a 7-Eleven, and you turn them, and you go, you got $4 for smokes? At the end.
Don't tell your dad.
My uncle.
Don't tell your mom.
Don't tell your mom. Yeah. You got to be somebody's uncle. You got a 9-year-old nephew somewhere?
I've got a 12-year-old niece, a 10-year-old niece, and a 6-year-old nephew.
Now we're talking.
All right.
Now
let's really start poisoning that 6-year-old.
You want to hear a 30-second story. So my middle niece was 10, you know, last March or so, and there was a March Madness pool that all the kids were participating in, picking the final 16. And my, you know, sister called me up and said, hey, can you pick this for her? And, you know, it's a girl, right? So we pick, there's like 60 people. Luckily, we won. And all the boys were like, how did you win that? How did you know who to pick?
Right.
She's got to be tight-lipped about that.
Yeah. All right. So your bet, and we won the parlay we won the teaser.
Yep.
Yes.
Last week. So this is take the money line on the Pats.
Just take the Pats to win.
Take the Pats to win.
Pats to win the game, and here's my advice. Wait until game day, because the phenomenon that's causing this discount will likely continue, and we could get even better, 170, 160. But we'll book, you know, we'll grade this at the current number, 180. But my advice is wait. You probably get a better number.
All right. You tell me what to do morally.
Uh-oh.
Oh, boy.
I always hate it when the Patriots win. Obviously, this is going to help. If I take the Patriots and they're giving away 4.5 points to the Eagles, then the Patriots would win by field goal, and I would lose, and the Patriots would still win. So that's the way the gods have to shape it. So if I do it this way, then if the Patriots win, I win.
Exactly. You're taking Philly in the points?
No. I think Adam's on to it, Brian. He wants to bet the best bet, New England on the money line, but then he has an emotional hedge.
Emotional hedge. But what about my relationships with Bill Simmons, the sports guy, and Kevin Hench, and the multitude of Patriots fans I know who would never speak to me again because of the curse?
Mm-hmm. Right. I think it's worth it. If anything, that's even more reason to do it.
You think it's worth it? Okay.
So, here's what you do, Adam. How much would you pay for the chance to ride them about the Pats losing? Whatever that number is, that's how much you should bet to win.
Yeah, you win either way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right, very good. I'm going to think about this. I like it. I like the emotional side of it because I'm always so down after the Patriots pull out another victory at the end.
Boston fans cheering all around you.
Yes. All right, so what are we... Sorry, RJ, we're going to wrap it up. What are we missing here?
Well, I can give you three quick prop bets. I mean, rattle them off if you want.
Three quick prop ones.
Okay, and these won't go on the record, but these are ones I've personally bet. So you can bet the second half is going to be higher scoring than the first half. So second half, higher scoring. And you got to lay a little extra juice, about minus 120. And here's the rationale.
The Patriots always score more in the second half, right?
Well, the Pats do especially. This is the most amazing stat of the week. New England has played 7 Super Bowls with Brady and Belichick. In the first quarter,
never scored.
Total points is zero.
Yes. Sorry for being a douche, but I just talked to Cousin Sal about this an hour ago, and it's crazy. The best prepared teams, and a team who traditionally goes out and scores in their opening drive, week 8 of the season, never scores in the first quarter.
But it's Belichick's a design because he understands you can lose the game early, but you can't win it. So he is by on purpose extra conservative early.
Right.
The second pick is aligned with that concept. You can bet the Eagles to win the first quarter plus a half a point, and that's very important because if it's 3-3, 7-7, 0-0, you still win. The Pats a Pats team that has not scored in the first quarter would have to beat the Eagles in the first quarter to lose this bet, and you got to lay about minus 120 again. So the second bet, Eagles plus a half of point in the first quarter.
Prop bets are fun.
They're fun.
They're extra fun.
All right. Wait, was that the second?
Those are the two I like best.
Okay. We'll leave it at those two.
All right, RJ, we'll be thinking about you on Sunday.
Hey, I'll be thinking about you getting on Simmons if the Pats lose. The amount of money I lose, I'll be trying to vicariously live through you busting his balls.
Thanks, RJ Bell.
Bye-bye.
Can't you bet on what color the Gatorade they're going to spill it? Like really crazy stuff.
I spent an hour or so yesterday making my prop bets. My favorite one, take this. Will Terrell Owens be mentioned during the broadcast?
Why is that?
Of course. He was an Eagles receiver the last time they played the Pats, and he had a great game. So I think he had a Super Bowl record or close to it. And, of course, they're going to mention him at least once. It's plus 110.
And he had a broken ankle.
He played a recently healed broken leg.
So anything the mind can imagine can be bet on is what you're saying.
Pretty much.
Yep.
Amazing.
All right. Speaking of that, how about BetDSI? BetDSI, 20 years plus. Paying winners, A-plus rated on sportsbook review sites. I play there myself. I recommend BetDSI. Use your sports knowledge. Make a little extra cash. Easy-to-use mobile playing interface. Play, win, get paid. Odds on all things football, including live betting and prop bets, as we just talked about. You can bet while the games are in action. I like that, too. And all major sports, politics, reality TV, pretty much everything. Use the code Corolla25, get 25 free to get started. You can wager free just for registering. Decide to put in a deposit and get 200% bonus match on your money. So, BetDSI, big game's coming up. Let's have some fun. BetDSI.com, promo code Corolla, get the 25 free wager. Use it on RJ's Parlay if you like. And the 200% extra bonus on the deposit. BetDSI. All right, let's see. So I had stuff to complain about and talk about. You guys tell me about this interesting part of life, which is the maids showed up to my house, and the reason I know the maids were there were twofold. One is because I let them in, and then later on I was...
That's a real tell.
Yeah. Later on, I was reminded that the maids were there at about 6 in the evening when I came home and opened the microwave, and not only was the microwave go round glass way off the center thing, but also the weird hoop with the three wheels was also falling over it as well. Like,
but wait,
how aggressively are they cleaning?
it's like you could never you open the microwave, you clean the Owens Corningware, whatever it is, the Corningware, and then you put it back, but you know that it has to go back and kind of get caught
there's
on the
divots.
Bottom thing, and that there's a wheel halo thing with wheels in it. And the fact that they're both just sort of falling over and off to the side, you don't care. Mm-hmm. And I know, here's what I'm curious about. Everyone's sort of excuse is, oh, come on, they're fill in the blank. You know what I mean? They're baggage handlers, or they're maids, or they're whatever, gas station attendants, or they're valets. Like, I mean, it's like, did they do that 50 years ago? Did we give everyone this sort of pass where it's like,
give him a break.
Oh, he's not running his own internet company, so give him a break for doing really subpar
basic.
Work, like basic stuff. Like, I know when they're there because I show up and the clock is unplugged by the side of my bed because they unplugged the clock, plugged in the vacuum, and then unplugged the vacuum, and the cord for the clock just sat on the carpet next to where they unplugged it 14 minutes earlier, and they neglected to plug it back in. Lynette's always kind of on the side of, oh, they're out of it. They're what do you want out? You know, sort of, what do you want out of them? They're maids. Olga never puts up with it because she's like, in a weird way, like she's doing that. She's not, you know, running Nabisco.
Right.
She's working.
Yeah.
And she's like, that's bullshit. Like, you do your job. You do your job right.
Yeah,
you know, putting that thing back in the microwave, you know, you're not, you know, it's not set up. There's nobody...
Part and parcel of the job is leaving it as you found it.
Well,
or,
right.
You know, a cleaner version of
and,
as you found
it. Yeah, if you're not running Nabisco, you are there to clean the microwave. So, therefore, your only focus should be that.
You know, because you took it apart when it was sort of functional, and you know because you're living in this country in 2018 and your microwave at home probably has the micro go round on it, and you do houses all day, every day for a living, and you do upscale houses that must have this mm-hmm. device, you run into this 11 times a week.
Sure.
Don't tell me that you don't know what's going on. Right. And then what? I don't say, here's what's going on in the brain. I'm a bad person.
No.
That's not what's going on in the brain. Something is going on in the brain. I know it's not caring, and it's back to my two-mode thing. How would you do it at your house? How would you do it if somebody said, I will give you a $10,000 bonus, but I'm going to come inspect this house, and I better find everything done just right. Then if the answer is, of course they do it then just have that mode.
Yeah.
Just have that one mode. Because you're getting paid to do this.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
It's a big indicator that you didn't say, I knew the maids were there because everything was so sparkly and beautiful.
I always know when the maids are there because something is knocked off or something stupid or weird. So, I had this thing where the maids are coached to let themselves in. And the sort of, the conceit is they're coming around 11. Lynette's leaving for her thing. I'm leaving for my thing at 10:30, and we leave the front door unlocked, and you guys can let yourself in.
All right.
And that's something that's stressed a lot because there's nothing I hate more than the person showing up, and then they weren't back, so you know, I hate that waste. So I happen to be home, and I get the ring on the doorbell about 11:15, and I look through the peephole. It's the two maids. Now, what do I do?
You got to test this coaching.
I got to test.
Yeah.
So I stand by the door.
Wow, that's
and then
terrifying.
The unlocked door.
Yeah.
Then I realize if they open the door and I'm standing there, I look like an asshole.
Yeah, you look like psycho.
So now I decide I should do something constructive with this downtime, but it can't be too involved. Certainly not going to risk beating off. That's throwing caution to the wind. And I got to go do something in my office where I can hear the door if they knock or they come in.
Right.
But I can't blare Better Man.
The Little Big Town version or the Pure
Right.
version.
So I sit in my office and I wait. And it's quiet. So now I'm in this weird zone of maybe they packed up and left and now I've really screwed everything up. But I still want to make sure they're trained for next week and the week after that to come in. So I walk back again. And I go look through the peephole again. And now they're both still standing there, but one of them's on the phone.
Oh, and we jiggled the handle.
Can I tell you how much of this goes on in my life where you go, hey, remember I told you guys just come in when I, yeah. We just wanted to make sure. I wanted to call my manager and then she would call your wife and then we'd get a text back. Yeah. I just wanted to make sure.
Or.
Which I enjoy, sort of, but I also like the part where I get to just say something and it just is. You know what I mean? But we don't really do that part anymore. So I'm looking through the people and she's like calling somebody and they're standing out there. And now I'm doing this thing where they're on the clock. Like in my mind, like I don't want them standing on my porch. On the other hand, I have some weird investment. Now,
yeah, you want to see this through.
Let's play it out. Yeah.
I don't know. What would you guys do?
If I had gotten as far...
I'm also wasting my own time because I'm standing there staring through a peephole.
The words
somebody.
Out of my mouth. Were, if I had gotten as far into this as you had, I would have to have seen it out. Like, well, now where's this going to go?
Do you try it in the first place?
No.
Yeah.
There's really? Going to be a lot sure. of them coming over without you there.
This golden opportunity for you to actually be there and quote-unquote catch them in the act? That's you can't put a price tag on that.
Yeah, that's a weird social interaction that I want to avoid. I don't want to catch anyone in the act doing anything. Ever.
But
you're phrasing it in a weird way. But
when do you get the opportunity to actually be there and see if the plan works?
Not very often. Yeah. That's why I want to know. Dawson?
If they don't do it and they end up leaving, you know, they don't come in the house. One, you don't pay them. Two, lesson learned. They just wasted their time.
So, yeah, I got you. Yeah, but for me, it's always just another round of rescheduling. And when
you
are they coming back? And
misadjust your microwave yourself.
Right.
Was there any way to meet in the middle, open the door, freak them out a little bit and be like, you know, we talked about you just come on in, right?
I just kept standing there and I didn't want them to get away. Like if they...
They're still there right now.
And I just
went out the back.
And like someone was making a phone call and then at some point there was a knock on the door. Now we went from the doorbell to knocking, but still, I wanted to see what would happen. Like, when would they turn that knob?
As instructed.
And eventually, I waited a little longer, and they came in and did the sort of yoo-hoo move and came in. And I said, good. And then I told them I was here waiting to see if they came in.
You told them?
Oh, wow.
I absolutely
did. Wow,
Ballsy.
I absolutely did. And I said, look, I want you guys to come in. You know, come in. There's just, you can ring the doorbell, wait a few seconds, a few moments, and then let yourself in. That'll be fine. That's what to be expected. You don't have to. And then you get I just wanted a call to make sure. And it's like, okay. Yeah. So hopefully made an impact.
Can't believe you told them.
Well, it was weird because they had been ringing the doorbell and pounding on the door for quite some time.
What's weird about that?
And I had a choice between dousing myself with water and throwing a towel on really quick or just looking like an imbecile. Because I was standing there dressed, you know, like there's only so many places I could hide.
Wow.
But
it's elaborate ruse.
This is very Curb Your Enthusiasm-esque. Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were the guys that were dropping off my tinnitus medication. I'm sorry. Yes, come in.
Yeah,
come in.
Hey, didn't we discuss?
So, also, I was watching the Grammys, and they did the In Memoriam, and, they got a lot of people in the Grammys. Yeah. 'Cause the Grammys really has to cover the producers. Uh-huh. And promoters, yeah. You know, Oscars kind of basically sticks with the talent,
the
but these
the
guys
crew,
open
maybe.
It up to managers and agents and record A&R guys and stuff,
guys.
Label guys. Like there must be something. It's a tight knit group, and they need these A&R guys in there, whatever label guys. And it just kept going and going and going. And then I saw, Chuck Berry, and then I realized Chuck Berry. He got a little bit of a pass
Checker
with the whole
passed.
Me Too.
Yeah.
He got a little bit of a pass. I thought, I've heard a few stories about Chuck. He got the kind of, he's a legend, you know, leave him alone.
Different time.
Chuck's
simpler
Chuck.
Times. Yeah. I think a little bit is a little affirmative action mixed in there, like he suffered enough. But
he was a perv, allegedly.
He was charged with having sex with a 14-year-old Apache waitress.
Oh.
Yeah, but a 14-year-old Apache is like a 27-year-old pale face, right?
Wise.
Yeah.
She has some wisdom.
Yeah, you always hear about the elders, but what about the youngins? All right, so I had sex with a 14-year-old Apache waitress.
It's important to note that.
He owned lots of underage porn.
That's a big deal.
Yeah, they found it during a drug evasion or drug bust at his house. They thought they were going to find a bunch of drugs. Instead, found a bunch of kiddie porn.
That's bad, yeah. bad.
What counts as a lot?
Installed cameras in women's restrooms at his restaurant. Yep. Sued by 59 women. So in terms of sort of onerous, you know what I mean? The kiddie porn and the especially devious cameras in the bathroom.
Oh, Maybelline, why can't you be two?
Kind of thing.
Why can't you go two?
Why can't you be two?
Not a lot. Not a whole lot of discussions. It's like he dies, like, hey, he's a legend.
Oh,
and we are in a mode of like tearing down statues and talking about founding fathers who owned slaves and stuff like that. Chuck had this
eased
whole,
into retirement.
This train just
missed him.
Somehow missed him, right?
Now, Adam, have you ever seen any of the videotapes of Chuck's home movies?
Oh,
I feel
my.
Like you would have run in some of those circles where somebody would have had it. Because I know somebody who's seen them. And they are rough.
The toilet tapes, they call them.
Well, like the girl in the bathtub who's getting urinated on.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
I don't know about this.
And in terms of what Al Franken did, and by the way, like your James Francos of the world versus, hey, young gal, sit in the tub and let me dump on you. Let me take a whiz on you. I find this is, when you take a look at this rap sheet.
Yeah.
In terms of, it's sort of like this. Do you like women folk or don't you like women folk? And what did you do for them or against them? Chuck's rap sheet's pretty...
Speaks for itself.
Pretty good, yeah. I think if that was Kevin Spacey or James Franco, there'd be some outrage. I think if that were, let's just say, James Franco, you might leapfrog to the ahead of Weinstein in terms of the leaderboard. I mean, the stuff Weinstein did was bad, but this stuff gets into the sort of scatological with the hidden cameras and stuff like that. Kiddie porn. Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's about as bad as it gets.
Anyway, he's never...
he'll be missed, but
he's never admitted to it, though. I mean, he
well, good luck now.
Yeah, he said he installed the cameras to catch a worker who was suspecting of stealing from the restaurant.
Right.
And then his lawyers are just saying he's the victim of a conspiracy to profit from his wealth. I mean, he's never admitted to it.
Right.
So usually when they computer,
but when they go to when the DEA guys go to bust the guy for drug charges, they don't go like, "Oh, hey Tim, let's see, battering ram, check, 44s check, kiddie porn that we can plant if we don't find drugs, check and double check,
got it.
All right. I was just thinking about for when you think about the guys, you know, when you. Aziz Ansari has gotten more shit than Chuck Berry.
Certainly in the last month and a half.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So that's where we're at.
Yeah.
That's our society. That's how we roll. We've deemed it more important to tear Aziz Ansari, new asshole, and Chuck is a legend. Mm-hmm. Set in his ways. He'll be missed. He influenced the Beach Boys.
That's right.
Anyway, be missed. Okay. This is why I don't participate with much of society when society gets outraged or not outraged, because I see that their yardstick is so fucked up that I would never be sucked into a society that has a yardstick that's bent like a fucking pretzel. When we start doing sort of moral indignation and outrage commensurate with whatever the person did, then I'll be back.
Unless,
that's the way I roll.
Unless your point of view is, oh, it's all the same, it's all bad. It's like, well, which would you rather have happen to your daughter?
That's my yardstick.
Give you a choice, one or the other.
And also, when somebody says it's all bad, I really don't believe that they really believe that. Mm-hmm. I think they're just making their hero statement for the week.
It is all bad, but it's all not as bad. That's absurd.
Yeah, and then what what is bad? I mean, a mosquito bite is bad, right, and an industrial accident is really bad, but I don't even put them sort of in the same breath as bad.
And speaking of bad, that's what people were saying about this. That's why it seems like the tide's turning a bit, because specifically with Aziz Ansari, people were saying, no, 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 you went on a bad date. Mm-hmm. You had a bad date, and that is where somewhere. Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. That is where that ends.
All right. Also, lots of people have been tweeting me about someone trying to bring a peacock on a flight.
It doesn't even look real. It looks like that. It has to be an Onion article or Photoshop. That is a giant animal.
I got 2,000 tweets, and a lot of it is because in Road Hard, I mentioned it, but also I've been mentioning it when all this thing started, when people are like, oh, we got a service dog. Then I'm like, well, what's to stop people from bringing a service ferret or a service parrot or something? And then I would say, hey, this is my service pelican. Welcome. Well, say hi to Gilligan. And everyone would just laugh. Like, it was absurd. Yeah. Like, it was absurd.
Jokes we have to explain years down the road. And this is funny at the time.
A pelican is not as absurd as the picture we're looking at right now.
We're kind of there. And I don't know who these people are, but can we do this? Pete Rose has a lifetime ban from Major League Baseball and the Hall of Fame. Can we give flyers lifetime bans?
Ooh.
Can we bring douchebags who bring peacocks to the airport and fully expect to fly with them? Can we give them, hey, how about you mount that goddamn peacock and they'll fly you into Phoenix? But
of all the animals that don't need to be on a plane. No.
Anybody who gets shit-faced and then starts a fist fight and they have to divert the plane and go back to SeaTac to land the plane because blah, blah, blah. Can we give these people lifetime bans?
That'd be great.
Can we thin the herd a little?
Throw them on the no-fly list.
Mm-hmm.
You get a 2-year suspension first, and then if you somehow screw that up, gone for life.
Right. All right.
I like that.
Let's see. So thanks for tweeting me all that. I had a funny situation when I came home yesterday. Natalia said, let's go swimming. And I said, well, the pool temperature is 49 degrees. And she said, yeah, but it's so hot in this house. I want to go swimming. And I said, I'll go swimming. I dunked myself in the swimming pool this morning. I can tell you it's freezing. And she said, I want to go. And I said, all right, if you want to do it, then we'll do it. So I got my swim trunks. I got in the pool. And then she got in her bathing suit and she put her foot in the pool and she started screaming, it's burning.
What?
Like, there's a feeling of super freezing cold water when you step into it up to your shins. Feels like 1,000 little pins
on
it. And she
felt electrified.
She felt that feeling. I kept wanting to go, how do you think my balls feel right now, sweetie? But I didn't.
Then she said,
it's so painful. So now I'm in the pool and she's not in the pool. And it was her idea. And I said to her, she didn't want to get in. And I just said, all right, come on. And she's like, she'd step in and then, oh, it's so painful, my feet, they're burning. She'd jump out again. And then I just went, all right, $100 if you go to the deep end and just run and jump in all the way past your head and everything. And she's like, $100? And I was like, yeah, $100. And she's like, okay, and then she ran to the end, and she was standing there, like going, like, "Oh my god, oh my god, oh my god, oh my!" And then I said, 10 seconds. You're not in under 10 seconds. You're out." And I started counting out, and she just threw it. Like, it just goes to show you that when you put some money on the table and you put people on a clock,
great motivator.
She went from standing on a Baja shelf up to her shins, screaming in agony, to throwing her entire body in. But I'll show you the tape. It's funny. So,
5, 4, 3.
How much are you giving her?
It's warm.
That's it. And I love that she timed it perfectly. She knew she had like a second and a half on the clock and just ran.
Yeah. I love it. I love making that. This whole reason to be rich, making people do stuff they don't want to do for cash. It works with the ladies in many, many forms, too. It's not just all aquatic.
I couldn't help but notice that nobody was screaming to give her a towel.
Thankfully, her mother was taking a nap.
Okay.
Later on, Sonny announced to me that he'd go full Monty in the pool. I mean, not naked. He'd go in the pool. He'd go in the deep end, and he'd go from one side to the next.
Ooh.
Underwater. Max Pata, get my phone, by the way. There's a picture on it I want to share. Underwater, but he needed $1.30.
Oh, ups his own ante.
And I said, I can hang with that.
It's a good negotiator.
Yeah.
But if you pop up halfway across,
done.
Deals off the table.
You owe me.
And I don't know if you guys have ever, when I was young, I remember very clearly when I was like 11, when it would rain, we'd get our BMX bikes and just plow through puddles and just go through, find some parking garage and a big puddle and just slide through and whatever. At a certain point, we went up to a condo complex in Studio City where like the pool was sort of off. And I just thought, well, so we're sopping wet. We're completely soaked. Why don't we just jump our bikes into the swimming pool? We'll just ride off the diving board and they'll jump them into the swimming pool. That sounds like, you know, cheap thrills. And there wasn't anyone around. It was pouring outside like no one's using the pool. So, all right, we're freezing and we're completely sopped. So I started riding the bike off the diving board into the pool. But one thing I learned is when I lost grip of the bike and it sunk to the bottom of the deep end, if you ever try to go underwater with super cold water and try to swim underwater for a while, you'll hyperventilate. Oh. Like it doesn't feel good at all. Like when you gotta go touch the drain, so to speak, when it's freezing, you'll be like, it's hard in the freezing cold water. So for that reason, I don't think Sonny's gonna make it. Lynette announced she did not want to be present for that.
She now knows herself.
I can't look.
She now knows herself. And the whole reason I'm saying this, I told Max Pata to get my phones because I took Phil for a big long walk today, and I was just thinking about freezing water, and we just walked through some church corridor, some quad or something in a church out there area, and Phil just jumped right into the fountain, and he just sat in the fountain. He just goes, oh, there's a fountain, and he wouldn't come out, and people were like walking around wanting to know why he's in the fountain, and he won't listen to me, and I can't pull him out of the fountain. I can't lift him out of the fountain. Oh, there's nothing to do. He just has to sit in the fountain until he's done coming to the fountain. But
King Phil.
He just got in that freezing swimming pool as well. God bless him. All right. Courtside with Dad.
Oh, yeah.
Tell us a couple stories.
So on Sunday afternoon, backing up a month or so ago, I wanted to get my dad USC basketball tickets. He loves basketball, loves USC, and I thought it'd be a fun thing. More about experiences these days than gifts. I'm not going to give him anything. He has a 60-something-year-old man.
He has what he needs.
Yeah, I'm not going to give him anything he needs. So actually, I did give him the Southwest gift card that he allowed him to fly down for the game, but I was like, I'm going to give my dad USC basketball tickets. Mm-hmm. He loves following USC Hoops. And so I talked to a fan of the show I know named Michael. Michael does the defensive stats for the Coliseum. He does Rams stats. He does USC stats. He knows a lot of people in the USC program. And I said, hey, man, want to get my dad tickets for Christmas. Can you just tell me who I can, if you know someone I can get them from, I'm happy to pay or you know, whatever. Good seats. I want to get my dad good seats. And he goes, oh, I got you set up. And he hands me courtside seats, literally. People,
you're on
pictures,
the floor.
I'm on the floor. That is the only person between me and the action is the referee. I mean,
wow.
It's
pretty much inbounds.
There's 8 inches separating me from the out of bounds line.
Wow.
It was awesome. I'd never sat in seats like that at any level of basketball, like high school, pro, or college, or any of the games I've been to. And it was so cool. The coolest part was watching the players interact with each other, both on the same team and on the other team. Like, you forget that these kids all were like AAU stars together at some level. So they all know each other, you know, just because they play for Cal or USC or anybody, you know, unless they're from another country.
They're all at some Nike camp at some point 3 years ago or 2 years ago or last year.
And they listen to the players like interact with the referees, like, you know, talking about, was that a foul? I was this, I was that, I was in bounds, I was out of bounds. That was cool. And the game was fun. USC won by, I don't know, 18 or 20 points. But it was a cool experience. Dad had a great time. And thanks to listener Michael, who loves the show, big fan of yours. talking to Gina, of course, helped me get the tickets.
And I had no idea that was your dad.
Oh, he was sitting in the green room.
I am offended that I was not introduced. I can't believe that was Mr. Bishop.
Well, the poor guy has two rebuilt knees, so he wasn't about to get up and, like, you know, go and greet everyone.
Oh, understood.
So, yeah, he has, you know, not trouble getting around, but, you know, it's deliberate these days.
You sit him down in court side, he'll be fine.
But it was it was fun. I'm glad I did it. I would love to do it again sometime. And if anyone has, at any level, I would imagine, whether it's Division I, Division II, smaller conference, sit courtside sometime. It's a team you love. Like, you know, spend the whatever it is, $100 or something. That's a cool experience.
And I'll tell you about a cool experience before we hit the good sports. The Books, man. Valentine's Day is coming up, man. Don't get suckered by some online $19.99 special. Specials end up costing you $60 or buying the produce department for flowers. You know, you go to the supermarket, you buy them, and they end up smelling like onions. How about we use The Books? That's Bouqs, man. Short for bouquet. How about that? It is an awesome deal. Books, they don't sit in a warehouse, so they last for weeks. That's one of the great things about this company. Amazingly fresh and amazing fresh prices. Plus, free weekday delivery. Valentine's Day coming up, man. Let's make that gal happy. Show her you care, man. Send artisan design flowers from The Books and order today. Get 15% off when you enter Adam. This is a world-class company. The product's amazing. And yes, they do last that much longer.
And they look expensive.
That's
so beautiful.
Me point without being expensive. So that's Bouqs.com, promo code Adam. Save 15% and get going for Valentine's Day this year. Let's get going. All right. Let's see. Chad Prather's coming in here. He's been in before. We're going to do a little What Can Adam Complain About? Sort of a country-style version.
Southern edition.
Yes. Southern edition with Chad at the helm. He's been prepped. We'll do that right after the break and then good sports.
Adam Carolla is bringing his New York Times bestseller, Not Taco Bell Material, back to the stage this winter.
This is the first house I lived in L.A.
Adam Carolla, Not Taco Bell Material.
See, the dirt lawn is going to be a reoccurring theme in tonight's show.
Live at the Kennedy Center, February 9th.
I told you my dad would turn into lead singer Boston at some point.
Not Taco Bell Material returns to Thunder Valley Casino Resort outside Sacramento on Friday, March 2nd.
And my mom would turn into Mo Howard from the Three Stooges.
And don't miss the live taping of Adam Carolla's Not Taco Bell Material, April 21st in downtown Santa Ana, California, presented by Esports Arena.
I'll give the devil her due. My mom could cook. Nobody puts nothing on a potato like my mom.
Adam Carolla in D.C. at the Kennedy Center, February 9th. Sacramento at Thunder Valley on March 2nd. And Santa Ana, April 21st.
Anybody could use the Mulholland Club if you were willing to scale a rocky cliff and jump a fence. Then you too could have a gold membership to the Mulholland Club.
Not Taco Bell Material. Learn more at adamcarolla.com. One Sports Network presents Good Sports.
Hi and hello, sports fans. Welcome to another super edition of Good Sports presented by Podcast One Sports. Dave Damashek here, Adam Carolla there. Super Bowl 52 drawing ever closer, Minneapolis and St. Paul. I always think that's weird. Wouldn't that be weird to be in one of those places where it's like you're in the Twin Cities or in the Quad Cities? I wonder if that's exciting or if that means nothing. I feel like that's going to be a fun destination, be in the Twin Cities. And what do you have self-esteem issues if you live in St. Paul because it's not as big as the bigger of the two?
I will tell you this. I was, first off, they have a Polish joint there called Kremerchek's. Me and August always go there and get the sausage and the sauerkraut.
Is it downtown?
It's on the other side of the, I guess it's the Mississippi goes through there.
The Mississippi goes through the Twin Cities, really? I had no idea.
Gary's got a little I know. Yeah, it's weird, but yes, it's on the other side of the Mississippi. It's a great town to walk around in and all that kind of stuff. And I was
Kremerchek's, consider it done, Ace.
We don't get enough of that food here. Anyway, I'm going to start salivating, so I'm going to continue. I was playing a show about 4 years ago there, and I was playing in Garrison Keillor's theater.
Mm.
He got all caught up in this whole Me Too movement. I don't even know what happened to him. It's unclear whether he did anything or not. Somebody said something, and he just went, look, I'm 77. I'm out. Like, I don't even know. He's just a weird footnote and all
that. I feel the worst for out of all this. I don't mean to dip my toes into these waters, but Al Franken. Like, it was like, we must use you as a piece to make a case. And like,
right.
So I got to go?
Right.
I'm done?
That's got to be a horrible, horrible thing to happen in anyone's career. And I agree with you wholeheartedly. So Garrison Keillor's theater is like across town in one of the Twin Cities. I'm in the other one. So I do what I recommend for everyone. When you go to a city, go for a walk, put in the earbuds, get the music going and just hit the pavement, man. See what's going on. And I walked over to the old stadium. I guess it's where the new stadium is. They always say they're going to put the parking lot here.
Sure.
They're going to move the thing there, but there's not a lot of room, not a lot of places there. It was like the last year of the old stadium. And our shows are always at 8 o'clock, and we had no discussions to say it would be anything other than that. And I was like walking, and I got a frantic call from Mike August, and it was like 6:32, and I was going to start heading back and get ready for the show. And he went, "Hey, show's at 7. It's not at 8." Which is great, Mike. Vintage Mike August. And
I bet it was very casual, though, the way he did it. Like,
yeah, and he's like,
"Hey, what's up?"
He's like, "Where are you?" And I'm like, "I am a mile away from the hotel. I got to walk back, get trained," and he's like, "All right, I'll call a cab. You jog back to the hotel, you know, whatever." And I went, ran up, changed, ran down, jumped in the back of the cab, had the 50-something-year-old guy. His name was Habib. You know, multiple neck rolls. You know, you're looking at the back of him with the big bald head and the big neck rolls.
Quick stop at the Polish joint, then on to the theater.
And he's pumping this soca music. Soca. It's like if somebody took the most annoying elements of ranchera music and the most annoying elements of like house music and just combine them to just annoy the shit.
I have no idea even what it is.
Out of everybody. Gary'll find soca. It's the most annoying music you could ever imagine. It's kind of that stuff like when you see Fast and Furious and they do the sweeping shot and it says Miami.
Yeah.
You know, and the music they have pumping when they're going in for all the knuckleheads to know something's going on and close up of the chick's ass.
I know. Like
that. It's like that kind of music.
You've painted a picture, yes.
It's being pumped in this. Now, I'm like, there's road construction. Anyone who's been to that area knows. They like tore up the main highway for 5 years or whatever. Having to like take side streets. Mike's calling, yelling, "Where are you?" He's pumping the soca music. And crank it up. I got Mike August. And Mike's like, "Where are you?" And I'm like, "I don't know. The bridge is closed." I'm like, "Habib, can you turn this down?" And he turns it down a little bit. He just brings it down about 10%. I'm still yelling at Mike. And by the way, hey, cab guys, when middle-aged white guys yell, "Could you turn down the soca music?" That's really code for "could you turn it the fuck off?" Like, that's not. I'm really enjoying this experience, but I like it to just a little lower. It's basically turn it down is code for
wow,
stop.
Love this tune, man. This is one of my favorites. Just a little bit less. Yeah. You're getting 9. Just make it 8.
Yeah, because there's a little distortion in some of the lower notes. So I say to him, "Look, Habib, what is this music?" And he goes, "Soca." You know, so it takes 20 minutes to define soca from soccer. for me with his thick accent and his neck rolls, you know. And I'm like, yeah, I'm like Habib. But soca. Soccer music. Soca. Soccer. Soca. Soccer music? Music they play at a soccer game or something? No, no. Soca. 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 Yeah, yeah. Soca. That's what I say. You know, I go, okay.
Rusinglasha.
What is this? What is this music? For a young man and a young lady, you know, come together. You know, they make love on the dance floor. You know, and I'm like, yeah, okay, Habib, is any of that going on in this cab? Or potentially going on? You're morbidly obese man with neck rolls. I'm a middle-aged comedian who's trying to get to Garrison Keillor's theater. What part of that? Why do we need this as the backdrop to this exchange, this momentary interaction we're having here? So, Habib, he turned it down to about half speed. And we're taking all these side roads, and Mike keeps yelling at me, where are you? And that's my memory of the Twin Cities.
Well, I'm looking forward to getting there myself. I hope it's as banner and experience as what you had. You know, so, yeah, like we were talking about
Aaron
in the last
Rodgers.
One.
Yeah, sorry. Would you rather have Aaron Rodgers than Tom Brady?
By the way, well, I've said this for a long time. I think I have to finally get off this opinion. But I, for a long time, have said, for one game, the fate of the planet hangs in the balance. And I can't tell you anything else about the defense or the offensive pieces around you or the weather or anything else. I used to say Ben Roethlisberger, 160-minute game, give me 7.
Right.
But hard to argue against Brady. It's crazy already that he doesn't matter what happened. He's down when the kid when Lambeau makes the kick for the Jags. I quietly said to myself, it doesn't have that vibe in the broadcast or the stadium what I'm hearing through there. But the game's over now. They're up 10 with in the fourth quarter. I mean, this would require a bigger performance than what Brady delivered in Super Bowl 49 against the generation's best defense, Seattle. And he doesn't have Gronk out there with him. He doesn't have, obviously hasn't had Edelman all year. I don't know how he's going to rally here. And then he does it.
I'm going to agree with you, Dave Damashek. I used to think like you, a version of this, which is, well, just give me Cam Newton and I'll just have him run every third and three or third and four. They won't, you know, I don't care if he's injured. He's got one game, you know, and he doesn't have to last the whole season. Well, I'll tell him, you know, if you see any daylight, just move the chains. It's like saying we won't punt. You know, let's have Cam Newton just put his head down and bowl forward or whatever it is. But then you think about what Brady, what he orchestrated in this last game and then, of course, the Super Bowl, and you go, maybe the skinny white guy.
It's correct, but you know what? You remind me. We can get into this after the Super Bowl. But XFL's coming back. You know?
Oh, it is.
Oh yeah. Vince McMahon announced last week. That,
no idea.
Yeah, big to do about it in the XFL. They've already. Well, let's kibitz about it. I'll tell you a couple of details that I learned last week. Meantime, that's it for this edition of Good Sports Podcast One Sports. Adam Carolla, Dave Damashek, out for now. Good sport.